Have you ever hidden a purchase from your spouse, opened up a credit card without telling them, maybe made an investment without them knowing? If so, you are not alone. Hello and welcome to the Julia and Gino podcast. We are your hosts, Julia and Gino Barbaro, and we will be tackling financial infidelity today. Julia, this is hot button topic.
Oh, yeah.
Baby.
This is interesting. When you brought it up to me, I'm like, huh? I'm like, yeah, we're going to get into some great stories today.
I'm trying to think if I ever opened up a credit card without telling you. Investments, yes, because early on, you just let me take care of the investments.
Yeah, we could go there if you want.
But... I want you to go there because I think, well, why did we pick a topic? Before we jump into how, you know, I actually committed financial infidelity, and it's not that I meant to. It's just one of those things where there's fear, there's shame, there's insecurity. Yeah. Is this investment going to go good? I don't want to worry my wife. I have this insecurity about the deal. I can make all these excuses, but it's something where if you want financial intimacy with your spouse, you don't want to be committing financial fidelity.
Yeah, and I think it's something that you're saying is there's always a fear behind it. A fear that your spouse will find out whether you messed up or you spent too much on something. And so that's really where we have to go. And we talk to a lot of people, a lot of married couples about their finances. And I'm going to be honest, a lot of women tell me, you know, I don't tell my husband what I spend. Okay. A lot of husbands say the same thing. My wife actually doesn't know where the money is. And I think that's where we were for a little bit, but it wasn't out of you wanted to hide it. It was that you weren't sure my reaction or if I was interested. There's a lot there. And I think if we uncover those reasons, there's no reason to hide it. There's a freedom of being honest because you lose the trust. What happens?
I was just going to ask you, can you elaborate a little bit on why it's so important, why this topic is so important to couples?
Yeah. You know, it's when we talk about infidelity, we think of having an affair and we lose trust in the person. But when we talk about other things like money, we're losing trust in the person. It's the same. It's different, but similar. And so how do you rebuild that trust? You know, I can remember plenty of times where when I had a bill or I spent money on something and, you know, let's say it was $300. I came home and you're like, how much did you spend? It's like, I was like $240, $245. And I would try to make it sound better. But what was I doing? I was lying. Ultimately, I was being dishonest.
I get the credit card statements.
Well, this was early on in the cash days.
Okay. But still, I know how much money's in the shoebox.
Right.
I'm very diligent.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because I was a jerk. Like,
Yeah.
So I was a jerk, but I was also a scared jerk.
Yes.
And I was a fearful jerk.
Right.
Because that money's there for the kids, for the future.
Right.
It's not to waste.
Right.
And that's why we did it. I'll share with you a story about our very first big investment, Jake and Gino, me and my business partner, Jake. And I remember I didn't have the money, Joel. I was scrambling for the money.
Yeah.
I was so afraid. We were having tough times at the restaurant. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to make money. Like I'm scrambling. I'm working harder. I'm making less.
You're afraid.
I'm afraid.
You were fearful.
I just did two deals and these things are great. Now I've got this life-changing deal.
Right.
So what did I do? I don't even know if you know what I did to get that third deal. I literally took out a home equity line of credit on the house that we were living in. Did you know that?
So now I know.
Okay, now
this
you know.
Is like
this
revealed
is 10
to
years,
me
this is 10
live
years ago.
On our podcast.
And I did it.
Yeah.
Knowing that I was pushing all the chips in.
Yeah.
This is not something that I did to go out and buy a toy or a luxury. This in my mind was, I have to do this. This is the deal of a lifetime. And guess what? It is the deal of a lifetime because we paid $4 million for that deal. We still own that deal. That deal conservatively is worth $20 million now.
Yeah.
I still own it.
Yeah.
We've refinanced the money out, but that does not excuse the fact that I didn't tell you.
Right.
In my hubris, I could say, well, Julia doesn't know what a HELOC is, and she does not. But really, that's such a cop-out.
Yeah.
I could have said, Julia, this is what I'm doing. We're really struggling at the restaurant. I'm barely making ends meet. I've got this opportunity with Jake. We're going to have to put some debt on the house. It's going to cost more for us. Now, fortunately for us, we had a really small mortgage, so the line of credit, but all that money from the HELOC went into this asset. I could have done that. I don't know why I didn't do that. Now, looking back, it was very selfish. Not selfish. Well, no. I was scared and I was unsure, and maybe the communication wasn't there. Yes. Now, thankfully, everything went really well. And about 8 months later, after I took the HELOC, I was able to refinance that deal and pay the HELOC off.
Yeah.
It's let me finish. It's not like I took out a HELOC to finish my basement and have a man's cave. That would have been a little bit different.
Yeah.
I'm not excusing the first one, but the second one would have been horrible if I did something like that. I was always thinking about the future for our family and the pressure that I had and wanting to make a really great investment, not wanting to burden you and not wanting you to worry. I wanted to put all that on myself because you gave me the permission to do that. You said, go out and make some money, go out and provide for our family. And when you gave me that permission, I was like, man, I really have to make this thing happen.
Yeah. Well, I think there was a lot in there if we can go in, but I think the question ultimately is, what if it didn't work out? What if you lost the money? There's something to that, and we're thankful that you didn't.
Let's rewind to the deal that I did lose money, the Maserati Mike deal. Yeah. You remember that deal?
I remember that. Yeah.
I mean,
okay. So here's my question. What was my reaction to that?
Was a lot better than my mother's.
Okay.
That's for sure.
No, that's good. What was my reaction? It's interesting you brought up your mom.
I don't remember because it must not have been
just to be
bad.
Clear, you brought up your mom.
Oh, yeah.
Not me.
Yeah. I don't remember. So it must have been okay. It must have been like, hey, we made mistakes before.
Yeah.
It was a lot of money. Yeah. And the thing is, I wasn't doing it to... And what, you know, when I put that investment in, it's not like I was doing it to go out and buy something fancy or anything. I was really trying to invest our money to make it grow for the future. That's what it was.
Yeah.
That's what it was for. What was your reaction?
Well, so my reaction was, okay, you messed up. Let's find something else. I wasn't angry. And it's interesting that you brought your mom up because I think we go into our marriage with what we experienced at home when we messed up. And so we don't realize that we're bringing that. I'm going to use the word woundedness. I know you get funny when I use it.
It's like I got stabbed with a spear. I'm wounded.
Well, it's true though. Hold on. You bringing that when you messed up, you had some things happened. Your mom in this situation responded to you, and that's what you're used to. And so when we get married, and this goes for everybody, you bring that experience into your marriage, and you don't know what your spouse, how they're going to respond, because we're always going through experiences. We're always messing up, starting over, trying things new. And so you have to experience these things with your spouse to know what their reaction is going to be.
One of the biggest challenges that I had coming into the relationship was that my mom, and just it seemed as if when I was young, I was always getting blamed.
Yeah.
So if you're the person who's getting blamed, I can understand why you're having this type of financial infidelity, because you don't want to be judged.
Yeah.
You want to be, what'd you make that mistake for? And that's probably, when I'm thinking about that third deal that I did with Jake, that's probably part of it. I didn't want you to freak out, but I didn't want to have the responsibility that if I made a mistake, it's like, oh, wow, it's my fault. Now she's going to blame me for it. And that was very interesting. So I want to go through a couple of
things. Can I respond to that for a second?
I'm still wounded, baby.
I know you are. Well, that's the whole beauty of what we're talking about.
There's no beauty.
There's beauty. I know. Yeah. Okay, but hear me out. So, yeah, you had that issue. You had that situation happen. We weren't very good at communicating what we were feeling. And I think that's, in a marriage, really, really important, obviously. But at the same time, you have to give permission to each other to speak openly. Like you said, you were always blamed. And so I didn't know that at the time. And so if you communicated that to me, then I would understand why you were so afraid. I would understand why you were afraid to tell me certain things about mess ups.
Baby,
yeah.
I wasn't that deep. I didn't really
know
back then. So
I'm just saying,
with all the work that we've done, that's why money coaching is
And that's
important.
Why we're doing what we're doing.
Yes.
So to help couples open up to their spouse.
Mm-hmm.
Here's why I freak out. Here's why I'm afraid to lose money. Here's why I'm afraid to tell you. Mm-hmm. Here's why, you know, in my situation, I didn't tell you what the bill was or how much I spent on the groceries because I knew you would freak
Trader
out.
Joe's was killing me back then.
My response wasn't to talk to you. It was about bringing you to the store so that you would pay for it from your wallet. And then I didn't have to be, you know, the one to spend money that was just out with us.
Julie, this is important because I think I have written here because I want you to really just sit down and reflect on this for a second. I wrote, most people aren't trying to hurt their spouse. I wasn't trying to hurt.
Yeah.
Usually it comes from fear of judgment. We just said that. Mm-hmm. Fear of conflict. You don't want to fight with me, so bring me to the store. Fear of losing control. And that was one of the things. I was losing control by not being able to make enough money, mm-hmm. and fear of admitting a mistake.
Yeah.
That one's probably a big one for me. Like, not my fault. You're laughing.
Huh? Well, I laugh because you're
this
still,
is enjoyable
you're still
to
like
you.
That.
This is really
awesome.
Enjoyable.
Yeah, this is our therapy session.
It's really enjoyable. Okay. Can I give some examples of what a financial infidelity looks like? They can be really small. Mm-hmm. Like you said, Julia goes out to the store, spends $300, but tells her husband, hey, I only spent $240. Ain't I great? That could be that. Or she goes to Starbucks and has a cup of coffee and spends $10, doesn't mention it. And then I look at the card and go, did you go to Starbucks? She's like, no, I didn't go to Starbucks. That's the one right there. Yeah. Secret credit cards, hidden debt. See, at least the HELOC wasn't hidden. Oh, I don't. Were you looking at the bill? That's a great. That was probably hidden debt. Concealing purchases. She didn't conceal the purchase. She just made the purchase a little bit softer. Gambling losses. Mm-hmm. Gambling is really, really big right now.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be the next endemic or pandemic or whatever you want to say. As far as for young men, it's going to be very, very challenging. Gambling. That's something where you have to be open with the spouse. That's why I think when you get married as a couple, I really do think you need to start trusting each other and having bank accounts and understanding your money picture and understanding, you know, how your relationship is with money. But if you want to avoid this financial fidelity, hidden investment accounts, lending money to family members without discussion.
That's one. That's actually, I've done that.
You've done that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Without telling me.
Yeah. And it's not like a secretive, like, oh, I'm not going to tell. I just have done it and not been open. This is years and years ago. Just a heads up. We've been married a long time.
Oh, so was the deal. Years and years ago, we were married. So
we're even.
Is that how it works?
No, I'm just kidding.
Well, it's one of those things where if you think about it, it is our money and we should both make a decision.
Well, that's okay.
And
that's good.
If you come to me and say, hey, my sister is struggling.
Right.
Can we really help her out? I mean, like,
well, again,
she's part of my family.
You have to remember is, especially early on in marriage, it's not like when you get married, all of a sudden, magically, you're a family and you feel like you're, you know what I mean?
Yes.
It takes time. And when you talk about trust, again, we're coming from our family that we grew up with and bringing all of those experiences and issues into and lack of trust or trust, maybe we are trusting, and then the other spouse has a different background. And so you're trying to figure out where you are, and you can't talk about everything all the time. And a lot of people like tell their spouse everything about everything in the day. That can be really overwhelming. Do you know what I mean? But at the same time, we have to build the trust with our spouse by examples and experiences and mess ups. And when we lose the trust, like what we're talking about, we have to earn it back. And that's important because in a marriage, there's a lot of asking for forgiveness and there's a lot of starting over. And there's a lot of, hey, the reason why I did that was because I was afraid of your reaction. And so there's healing.
So what I'm hearing is don't invest and pull money out of your house on a HELOC without telling your spouse. Don't go to the Trader Joe's and say you spent $240 when you spent $300.
Yeah.
And don't lend money to your family members without telling your spouse.
Well, all of them are based off of what?
They're
fear.
Based off of fear, yeah.
Fear of reaction from your spouse. And so a lot of times we find, like just like I did, just like you did, ways around it. And it's like, oh, that works really well if I just tell him it's less, don't tell him about this. Maybe put a secret bank account over here, which I've never done, just to clarify. You know what I mean? And so we find these ways around it, but all of them are awful because now we're losing trust when they find out, because at some point we're going to talk about it.
Yeah.
And so what kind of marriage do you want? Do you want it built on trust? Because if we don't have trust, well, that's not a good foundation.
Here's something that healthy marriages need. There's a few things that we can do to have a healthy marriage. Weekly money meetings. Weekly may be really overwhelming for people, but we're not sitting down and talking about it for hours.
Right.
Just for 10 or 15 minutes. What does the week look like? What's the budget look like? Oh, you're going to Publix? How much do we need, do you think? Oh, Costco. Costco's a great idea. Have weekly money meetings. Okay, how much did you make this week at work?
Yeah.
Where's the money going? That kind of thing.
But at the same time, can I just add something in that? Because it's important. Is that what you think we need and what I think I need might be different. Do you know what I mean? Like I do the cooking. And so I know that our food bill is higher than what you want it to be.
Baby, I am the one dish wonder. Okay. So you do the cooking.
You do one dish maybe once a month. And it's a good dish.
No, it's not a good dish. It's a wonderful
That's
dish.
True.
So you have weekly money meetings. You have shared financial goals. Like you're just saying, yeah. Let's talk about what the future looks like. Yeah. Are our kids going to go to college? What kind of cars do we want to drive? Where do we want to live? Do we want to buy another donkey? All of these things are really, really important to talk about.
Yeah.
Full transparency on accounts is something else I think that every couple needs. Mm-hmm. Even if you do have separate accounts, maybe that you should just have full transparency.
Well, the question is, why do you have separate accounts? What is the need to have a separate account from your spouse? Exactly.
I don't trust you with the money because you're going to spend it.
A lot of times, too, you want to be independent. And so the question is, where is that coming from? And why? How can you be an independent person in a marriage and still trust each other? Because like I said, we're never going to be on the same exact page on, okay, this is how much we spend on groceries. This is how much we're going to spend on an investment or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. We're two different people. And so I think it's important to acknowledge that and to honor that and be okay sometimes with me saying, hey, I actually do need to spend more on food. And that's okay.
So you're telling me that to stop, I can't buy any more guns. Maybe if you want to skip the gun purchase, it's okay. And that's important because, I mean, do I need to spend money on certain things? Maybe, maybe not. But at least being open and honest. And I think the last thing I'd say was the major purchases. If there's a major purchase that has to happen, whether you're going to send the child to college or whether you have to buy a car or whether you're buying a house or whether you're putting a significant amount of money into an investment, these are all conversations that you need to sit down, try not to be as emotional and try to really, you know, take the emotion out of it and try to really have a conversation amongst the two of you.
Well, too, I mean, it's hard not to be emotional because are you just saying to shove it down and pretend it's not there? Because
no,
it's there.
I don't mean that.
No, I think it's important to say, okay, what are these emotions? Where is this worry coming from? And that's what we do in Money Coaches is we dive into the where the worry is coming from, where the fear is coming from and work on that. Mm-hmm. Because only then can you have an open conversation and say, when you come to me and tell me, you know, a bill is coming up or, you know, when you used to go to the dentist and it was so expensive and you used to get mad at me for it, for one of our children's dental work.
That's the funny thing.
It was a feeling for me of like, I there was a lot going on emotionally. I couldn't even explain at the time. And so I wouldn't tell you a lot of things because of that. So that's where it was coming from. Does that make sense?
It does. And the crazy part is I wasn't getting mad at you. I was getting mad at the situation, but my anger was
projected
upon you.
Yes.
But that's the ultimately the crazy part. Yeah. I'm not getting mad at you because obviously you don't want to spend the money.
Yeah.
And obviously you're
I'm not like, yay, we got to spend money on the kids' teeth, you know?
That's embarrassing.
Here, yeah.
I want to share an exercise before we sign off. And this is important. We're talking about financial infidelity. We're talking about, you know, where it stems from. Mm-hmm. We're talking about what you need for a healthy marriage. Here's an exercise that you can do right now. You can schedule a 30-minute money date with your spouse and ask. That sounds
sexy painful.
Money date.
That's awful. That's awful.
Money date.
Can we at least have dinner?
So there you go again. Spending my money, huh? How much
it better
did it
cost? Be a good dinner too.
But just sitting down, 30 minutes, that's all you need. First question, is there anything about our finances we've been avoiding discussing?
Yeah.
That's a great question. What have we been avoiding the discussion?
No, I think that's important. But here's more important, in a sense, is letting your spouse, again, with the trust, remember. So if you lost trust with your spouse, it's little by little, you're going to earn it back. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so giving your spouse permission to be open about what they're worried about, and not judging them and not trying to fix it and just hearing them out, because their worry is really important that you, as a spouse, it's important that we help each other grow. And so if we're going to be shutting them down and not hearing them like, oh, you always worry about this, stop, you know, find out where it's coming from, be interested in what's going on.
Mm-hmm. So this is the second question, which is great. What financial decision are you currently worried about? That's a great one. What are we stressing about? Are we stressing about paying the groceries? Are we stressing about the car payments? Are we stressing about the mortgage? Are we stressing about we don't have the money to go on vacation? Should we go on vacation? That's important to get out in the open. And Julia, the third one is, how can I better support you financially and emotionally? That goes to your original point you just made 30 yeah. seconds ago. Yeah. That's great. Where, how can I support you? What's going on with you? What are you feeling? Where's that fear and that anxiety coming from?
Yeah. And, you know, even an add-in question that we can ask each other is, how can I help you in that? How can I help you? And if you had asked me that years ago, I probably wouldn't have known what to say. But looking back, I would have asked you, when I come to you with a big purchase that I have to make, I would love it if you didn't get angry at me, angry toward me. And I know you weren't angry at me, even at the time I knew it, but it was there. And so if we could just understand that we're a team, we're working together, we're not working against each other, I think that's something that I would have liked to see more of.
This is how I'm going to summarize it, and okay. I'll let you summarize
okay.
it. Transparency creates trust. Trust creates unity. Unity creates a stronger marriage.
Yeah, I think that's great. I just encourage the listeners to be open to hearing what their spouse is going through and feeling. I'm all about the feelings, right? And the emotions, and you hate it. You're all about the number one, two, and three. And just to be open and hear them out and maybe find out where their fears and worries are coming from and help them grow. Mm-hmm. Don't shut them down.
The affair, no one talks about. We just talked about it. If you have any questions or comments, leave them down below. The affair, no one talks about. We are Gino and Julia Barbaro of Barbaro 360, and we'll see you on next week's episode.